In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of St. Anthony of the Kiev Caves. And he's an important saint for the Russian Church because he was the founder of monasticism in Russia. At the time of the baptism of the Rus, he was a young boy. We don't know whether his family was already Christian before that because it were Christians in Kiev and Rus, but they were not certainly the majority, or whether his family embraced the faith, but we do know that they were a pious and devout family, at least after the baptism of the Rus. And he was born into a town, Lubchek, which is near Chernigov, along the Dnieper River, very close to what's today the Belarusian border. As a young man, he decided that he wanted to become a monk, and so he went to Monathos and became a monk at the Evsegmenu Monastery. And after several years, the abbot, by a vision that he had received, instructed St. Anthony to return to his own country and to found a monastery there. But after the death of St. Vladimir the Great, which was in 1015, his son Sviatopolk murdered his brother, Saints Boris and Gleb, and also Sviatoslav. Saints Boris and Gleb could have resisted but chose not to because they didn't want to cause a civil war. The way that the custom was at that time, the kingdom was divided amongst his son, but Sviatopolk decided he wanted the whole thing, and so he wound up killing his brothers, and this initiated a time of great trouble, and Sviatopolk persecuted those that he saw as a threat to them, which were generally the more righteous people whose lives were rebuked to his own. And so for a few years, St. Anthony returned to Monathos and again was at the Evsegmenu Monastery, though he lived in a cave near the monastery at this time. But he came back to Kiev at the time of under the reign of Yaroslav the Wise. He found a cave there that had been dug by St. Hilarion, who became the Metropolitan of Kiev later, but before he became Metropolitan, he had lived in this cave, which was along the Dnieper River. And so St. Anthony began to live there. And soon people began to realize that this was a holy man, and you had many people who began to gather around him. And when the number of his disciples reached 12, he chose his closest disciple, St. Theodosius, to be the abbot. And then he went about 200 yards away from where the caves were that all these monks were living in, and he dug himself a new cave. And this is why when you talk about the Kiev caves, there's the near caves and there's the far caves. Well, the near caves are where they started off, and the far caves are where St. Anthony went. The monastery continued to grow. There's much that we could say about St. Anthony's life, but we don't want to get into too much detail because I know that people get impatient during the liturgy to hear too much detail about these things. But St. Anthony was regularly called upon to heal the sick and to cast out demons. He became known as a healer, a holy man, someone to go to for spiritual counsel. As a matter of fact, many of the rulers of Kiev and Rus came to him both in times of prosperity and in times of great calamity, and he guided them. And after his repose, the monastery that he established grew into the Lavra, which became the spiritual center of all of Russia. And many times in its history, it was sacked and destroyed, but each time it was rebuilt. It came to house the Kiev Theological Academy, which was the first theological seminary in the Russian Church. Seminaries are a relatively recent invention. The Church has not always had them. For about 1,500 years, we didn't have them, but they do have some advantages. They also established a printing press. And much of our tradition comes from the Kiev Caves. You may not know it, but when you hear us singing the tones, we're singing Kievan chant, is what it's called, because it comes from this Lavra. At the time of the revolution, there are about 1,200 monks and novices in the Lavra. But first, the Soviets kicked out the legitimate monks and handed the monastery over to the schismatics, the living church. So we have somewhat of a repeat of what they're trying to do right now, unfortunately. And then eventually they closed it all together because people didn't support the living church. The living church was a phony baloney plastic banana that was a creation of the Soviets and was not really an organic thing, and the faithful just simply rejected it, and it withered away. And so the Soviets just closed the monastery and turned this lava into a museum and allowed the buildings to decay. In 1988, the Soviet Union was still around, but this was the 1,000th anniversary of the baptism of the Rus. And so the Soviets were convinced that maybe it would be good for international relations and their image worldwide if they celebrated the baptism of Rus. And well, if you're going to celebrate the baptism of Rus, where are you going to do it? You're going to do it in Kiev. And if you do it in Kiev and the lava is still closed, it looks bad. So they decided to allow the lava to reopen. When the lava was reopened, these monks came to what was really ruins of what had once been this great lava. And they built it by their own hands. They rebuilt it, and by the donations of the faithful. And today you can see that it's once again a beautiful complex of monasteries and churches and buildings. The Kiev Theological Academy is again thriving. The printing press there prints out service books that the whole church uses. And yet today we once again have a government that is trying to take the lava away from these monks and to hand them over to schismatics. There are about 200 monks, and then there are monks and novices that are in the monastery today, so it's much smaller than it was before the revolution. There are about 500 other people, including seminarians and teachers and other people who work at the lava. The schismatics that the government is trying to hand over the lava have 50 monks in the entire world. This lava is way too big for them to possibly even maintain. And they'd have to take every monk from every other monastery that they have and send them there, and they would still not have enough people to man this lava and to maintain it and to maintain the beauty that we now see today. Kiev is known as the mother of cities, and the Kiev Cave lava is the mother of monasteries throughout Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, and well beyond that. Even here in the United States, we have monasteries that are maybe not daughter monasteries, but you might say granddaughter monasteries of the Kiev Caves. We see in the monastery that St. Anthony established how important monasticism is in shaping the identity of an Orthodox people and maintaining that identity. And that's one of the reasons why we should all love monasticism. We all are not going to become monks, but when we have someone who's interested in becoming monastic, we should encourage them to do that. But we can all learn a great deal by spending time in monasteries and being around holy monks, because this is the spiritual lighthouse of the church. This is where we gather strength from these people who have dedicated themselves to prayer and to the service of God, and also to being that lighthouse that people can go to and gain spiritual solace and healing from. Many things in the history of this area have come and gone. There have been many political upheavals. There's been times when the whole land was devastated by invasion. There have been many wars, too many to recount. But monasteries like the Kiev Caves have held the people together. And when they've been destroyed, the people have rebuilt them. And even when they've been persecuted, and there's been times when they've been told they had to leave, the monastery might be temporarily closed, but it is reopened, because God is faithful to his people and God is on his throne. And so the fact that we see evil people triumphing at the moment should not be a cause of discouragement, because we're just seeing an opportunity for new saints and martyrs and confessors to shine forth. In the doxostican at the Lord I Have Cried last night, we heard these words about St. Anthony. Hard was thy way of life and thy labors for God, as the fathers of the Holy Mountain learned. Wherefore, in accordance with God's providence, they sent thee to thy homeland, saying, Go, child, that through thee God may become known to those ignorant of him there. There, when thou didst arrive, O venerable one, thou didst enlighten thy native land and become a leader of monks, bringing a multitude of them to Christ. Wherefore pray thou that we who celebrate thy most splendid repose may be preserved unvanquished by the enemy, and that our souls may be saved. Amen.